ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But he will trick you into believing something that is totally impossible. It could never happen. He had goldfish in this bowl, but you couldn't see them. And he said, they tend to hide when they're in the bowl. You can't really see them. He said, but look, I'm going to put them into this bag with this little seaweed, and you'll see them. And he goes in and he gets the net, grabs a supposedly a fish out of there, and puts it into the bowl. And there's the fish. And the people who are there go, huh, what? He goes, well, I think there's a few more in here. Can't you see them? He's very good at what he does. Do you think these guys are going to be good? They're going to be absolutely, and that we see that today. We have to be fruit inspectors and see what's born from their lives, see what their teaching is. Does it agree with the Word of God? John said in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's the warning. Now, as we read on here, John is going to share with us the purpose of the beast or this false prophet. What's the function of his ministry, you might say? Look at verse 12. John said, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Remember what I said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's to draw people to Jesus. The false prophet draws people to who? The Antichrist. And like I said, ultimately Satan at the beginning of the last 3.5 year period of time of the tribulation period. Isn't it interesting how easily people can be fooled today? One writer said, it may seem fantastic to some that the world will be led into worship of a man and of the devil. But by nature, men have an undeniable religious impulse, and they also have an undeniable rebellion against God. What men want most is not the elimination of religion, but their own religion. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. And how true that is. People develop their own religion. It's kind of like idols. You make the idol out of the imagination of your own heart. You make a religion that suits you. That's why we have Christian churches that are for allow homosexuals, transgender to come in because they're Christians. They believe in Jesus. Well, that's not what the Bible says. They made a religion to satisfy the desires of their own heart. There's the problem. And it's interesting because I truly believe at that 3.5 year mark, there's going to be this assassination attempt on the Antichrist. And we talked about it last time in Revelation 13. But I think this is a powerful event that will draw people to the worship of the Antichrist. The reason I say that is because he's going to have this false death and this pseudo-resurrection. And Zechariah 11:17 says it like this, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blind. And we saw that last time, you know, Revelation 13:3-4. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Again, I don't think he's actually dead. Because I don't think Satan has the power of life and death. Only God does. So this is a pseudo-death and resurrection. But it's going to be so convincing, this counterfeit death and resurrection, that the world's going to believe it's real. And it's out of that event that more people of the world will begin to worship the beast. Because he has power over everything, even life and death. Wow. Here's this battle going on during the tribulation period. We have the 144,000 Jewish witnesses, right? They're evangelizing for Jesus. We see millions of those who have come to Christ during this period of time sharing the gospel message. Many of them have been put to death for their faith in Christ. And what's the message you're sharing? That Jesus loves you, that he died and rose from the grave on the third day. What is the world now saying? Oh, that means that this man must be God because he died, and I believe he rose 3 days later, this Antichrist, and he rose 3 days, just like Jesus, so he must be God. And they begin to worship him. Look how deceptive he is. Look at verse 13 here in Revelation chapter 13. Notice what he does. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. We need to understand that deception is going to be tremendous. And we talked about this in Matthew 24, about the false Christ, the false prophets who will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. God says, Jesus says, I've told you beforehand. God warns us many times. It's just we refuse to listen. We think we know better and we don't. And if Satan and his workers can transform themselves into angels of light, they do so to deceive. And they're doing great signs, it says here, for those who are dwelling on the earth. And I think that's specific. That's not believers. That's unbelievers, earth dwellers. Those are always unbelievers. Now, what does signs do? Do you ever think about that? I'll give you an illustration. You're driving down I-43, and you see a sign, Sheboygan, 22 miles. What's that about? It's pointing you to something. You have 22 miles to get to Sheboygan. It's a sign. Well, that's what these are doing. It's pointing to the worship of the Antichrist, these signs and wonders. And this is a repeated action. The word performs is in the plural. So many signs, many wonders that the false prophet's going to do. Drawing people away from the worship of God and the worship of the Antichrist. One writer said, there is a supernatural power which is against God and truth, as well as one for God and truth. A miracle simply as a work of wonder is not necessarily of God. There has always been devilish supernaturalism in the world, running alongside of the supernaturalism of divine grace and salvation. Absolutely. I remember years ago after my grandfather passed away, and boy, man, I was like 15 years old, so that was eons ago, that my aunt said she saw in the mirror my grandfather. Was that really my grandfather? Absolutely not. That was a demon. But look at how deceptive that was. It was very, very real to her. And I think that demon was just acting on something she wanted to see. Remember in Deuteronomy 13, Moses is talking about a prophet or a dreamer of dreams with giving a sign and a wonder. And it comes to pass. But this person is leading you away from God. And you know what was supposed to happen to that person who had this sign and wonder that came to pass, this dreamer of dreams that had a dream and it came to pass? What were they to do with them? Put them to death. Because he was leading them away from God. It kind of eliminated a lot of problems. But what happened in Israel is they let the false prophets stay. You remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah kept warning, judgment is coming. We're going into captivity. Don't get your houses fixed up. You're going into captivity. They didn't want to hear it. The false prophets were saying, no, we're going to, you know, take down the Babylonians. We're going to free those that are captive already. One guy had some horns he put on to show that they were going to, you know, take out the Babylonians. Well, it didn't happen. They were false prophets. The other thing we have to remember is that miracles don't save people. Jesus does. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that's my name and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. if you are being led to worship another person, something's wrong. And that's what we're seeing here with this. And there are people today who follow some of these televangelists around like they're God, and they're not. It's tragic. You know, John the Baptist, Jesus says he was the greatest prophet of all. Right? Greatest prophet ever born was John the Baptist. Let me ask you a question. How many miracles did John the Baptist do? None. Absolutely zero miracles. How could he be the greatest prophet of all? Because what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was giving the message of bringing people to Jesus. And as Paul said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how people are saved. Why did Jesus do so many miracles then? Because the miracles Jesus did authenticated who he was, right? The Old Testament spoke about how the Messiah, the things he was going to do, the deaf, their ears would be opened, the blind, their eyes would be opened, the mute would speak, the lame would walk, the dead would rise. When John the Baptist was in prison and he was a little confused, is Jesus the one or should we look for another? And he told his guys, his disciples, go and ask Jesus, because obviously he couldn't go, he was in prison. Go and ask Jesus if he's the one or should we look for somebody else? And Jesus says, go back and tell John. Again, that the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak. What was he saying? John, remember what the Old Testament prophets spoke about the Messiah. That's what you see in me. I am the Messiah. Wow. And make no mistake about it, God does miracles today as well. But again, we see so often the foolishness of man to pretend or be deceived by false miracles. And it's only going to get worse. What are we to do? We seek the Lord. You know, in Mark, it says that signs and wonders will follow after us. After what? As we're walking in the Lord, as we're serving the Lord, God will do miraculous things in our lives. It's amazing. You don't seek after miracles. You seek after the Lord and his direction. You know, when the kids were in Mexico on a missions trip, my wife had taken them there. They were going to go to this one area, and they knew how many people were coming for some grain. And they had brought it all, put it in the bus, loaded it up, and came there. Well, there was like twice as many people. They didn't have enough bags of grain. So they said, well, let's just take out what we have, and you know what we don't have, there's nothing we can do. Do you know that every single person received a bag? Now, let me also say this. It was only the women who received the grain. The men didn't. You know why? Because the men would make it into alcohol. The women would use it for food. So God did a miracle by doubling the amount of food they had in the bus. And every single one was fed. They were out just serving the Lord. They weren't looking for miracles. They were serving. And signs and wonders followed after them. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, the Antichrist is going to be attacked with a sword. John says it's a Machaira in the Greek, a dagger or small sword. And it blinds his right eye and paralyzes one of his arms, according to Zechariah 11:17. And again, this is a pseudo-death and resurrection that draws the masses of people to worship this man. Again, people say, come on, people are really going to do that? They do it in our day. I'll give you an example. There was a man in Miami. He's dead now, but he claimed to be God. And he had thousands of followers who gave him lots of their money. He had a tattoo on his arm, 666. This is God, okay? This is what people are being told. And keep in mind that this Jesus, the Jesus, he died again in 2013. He didn't rise from the dead. So, you know, their God died. And I guess that means he wasn't God. But this is what we're told. This was just a cult. The Antichrist is not the devil, he said. He's telling his congregation this. He's the being who replaces Jesus on earth. Antichrist is the best person in the world, he says. Antichrist means don't put your eyes on Jesus, because Jesus of Nazareth Nazareth wasn't a Christian. Antichrist means do not put your eyes on Jesus of Nazareth. Put it on Jesus after the cross. And to Jesus says that means him. He had a following in over 30 countries. How easy it is for people to be deceived. Again, if you know your Bible, if he's calling himself the Antichrist, he's got 666 tattooed on his arm, he's saying that he's God. Is that a red flag anywhere? I mean, I don't know. This is like basic Christianity, Christianity 101. And people fell for it. We have to get back to the Word of God to expose the lies that are out there. And the Word of God would have done that. For this Antichrist, think about it. First of all, he's solving the world's problems of war, famine, pestilence, ecological problems, or anything in there, monetary problems. He has a pseudo-death and resurrection. And again, now this false prophet is going to put together this image of the beast and demand the world to bow before it, paying homage to it as unto the Antichrist. Again, what is this image all about? Well, we're going to see that in a minute, but the people who dwell on the earth are going to be deceived. Again, I think when you see that, it's speaking of earth dwellers. I think it's speaking of unbelievers, not necessarily Christians. I think Christians know the truth, even during this period of time. And for us, we shouldn't be deceived at all. We're not earth dwellers. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul said in Philippians 3:20. And we are told that he's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, we die or the rapture comes, we're going to be with the Lord. He's going to transform these lowly bodies into a glorious new body. And you know, when I was young, didn't matter. I wasn't even a Christian then. But even after I became a Christian, I was young, thinking, hey, man, I'm fine. What's up? I get up in the morning, I'm feeling good. I get up in the morning now, I can hardly walk. What is up with that? Lord, can't wait for that new body, man. Can you imagine? No pain, no ache. I don't have to get ibuprofen or prednisone or any of that stuff. A new body. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I have a feeling my vocal cords will improve. And everyone said, praise the Lord, who was sitting next to me when I sing, right? Hey, I can't wait for that new body. But here's the thing. The false prophet is going to bring to life this image of the beast. Isn't that bizarre? He's going to bring it to life. Look at verse 15. He was granted, the false prophet, this religious leader, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be what? Killed. Wow. Think about that. 2,000 years ago when John wrote this, was this even a possibility? No. What about 1,000 years ago? No. What about 500 years ago? No. What about 50 years ago? Not even 50 years ago. And I don't know what this all entails, but I think it's some kind of artificial intelligence, maybe into this computer or this body that is made up, a mind of a person is put into it. We don't know. It's amazing what they're doing. The Marines are working on getting AI to, as an army. And they're getting very close to utilizing this. They're not going to use soldiers. The Marines will use artificial intelligence. They're using it with the drones right now. These drones are gathering, the AIs are gathering this information as they're flying and all this stuff. So right now we have humans controlling the drones, right? But in the not too distant future, artificial intelligence will be guiding these drones go wherever they need to go, to drop a bomb, to whatever. Not humans, because we're a lot slower than artificial intelligence. They can make split-second decisions. This cybernetic transhumanism, putting the mind of a person into this android, you might say, body. Wow. You know, we've seen it with television shows, like I said at the Prophecy Update, with $6 Million Man and RoboCop and stuff. But this is becoming a reality. And it always blows my mind because, you know, you watch these shows from years ago and you think, we're developing that stuff now. How did they know that, you know? And I don't want to freak you guys out, but, you know, Soylent Green, you know what year that was? 2022. You know Soylent Green? Do you know the movie? The crackers were humans they were eating. We're living in 2022. I don't want to freak you out, but just saying, I think we're gaining so much. We're doing this at such a rapid rate because artificial intelligence is so quick. Things that would take us years to develop, because of artificial intelligence, they're developing things very quicker. My insulin pump and glucose meter, they used artificial intelligence to develop the logarithms to run these things. Now, those are good things, right? Artificial intelligence is not necessarily evil, but man is, and he will use it for evil. That's the problem. This image is going to give, or this false prophet is going to give life, breath, to this image of the beast. Notice what it says here in verse 15. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. How can any human do that? They can't. But artificial intelligence can hold so much information that it can know. It's really interesting. And again, this whole idea of this transhuman humanism, wow. There is a book out to be a machine. And we're told it is their belief that we can and should eradicate aging as a cause of death, that we can and should use technology to augment our bodies and our minds, that we can and should merge with machines, remaking ourselves, finally, in the image of our own higher ideals. You know what that reminds me of? And maybe I'm off on this, but for me, it reminds me of the Tower of Babel. What was man doing? Hey, we're doing our own thing. We're building a tower to reach up to the heavens to talk with the spirit world. We're denying. What did God say? I want you to spread out, right? They refused. What are we saying here? We're not going to die. What did God say in Genesis to Eve? If she took of that fruit, you shall surely die. The devil said, no, you're not. What are these people saying? We're not going to die. We're going to put our minds into these computer systems and we will never die. They're rebelling against God, just like the Tower of Babel. It's the craziest thing. Again, this stuff could be used for good things, for amputees, these arms and legs that they make. I mean, it's amazing what's out there. But again, it's going to be used for evil. We saw Criswell with his little video. This guy's a brilliant guy developing a lot of this stuff. He thinks the turning point again is going to be around 2030 when biotechnology will enable humans and generally intelligent computers and AI systems to merge together. 2030, it's 8 years away. I think the Lord's return's got to be before all this really comes into play. It's crazy. That's where we're moving. Chips implanted in brains. Really a cool technology if you think about it for paraplegics or quadriplegics, right? They can't move their legs or they can't move, if they're quads, they can't move their arms or maybe very little or their legs. So you have a chip in your brain that could talk to the door and say, open the door as you're thinking about it. Speak to the computer. Very good technology that's going to be used for evil. And that's the problem. A lot of information out there. And again, I am blown away. I don't know if anyone else is. And I think a lot of these researchers are blown away at how fast we're attaining this technology. I think it reaches its climax, I think, at the 3.5 year mark of the 7 year tribulation period. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it's interesting. The first commentary we have on the book of Revelation, written by Victorinus in the early church, says of Revelation 13:15, he shall cause also that a golden image of Antichrist shall be placed in the temple at Jerusalem, and the apostate angel should enter and thence utter voices and oracles. Well, think about when he wrote this, the early church, okay? Maybe 100, 200 AD wrote this before we have all the technology we have today. So he saw a statue in which this demon entered it.
God's way, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us, as we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.